Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode,
I was training for the London Marathon 2018, which was the hottest one on record.
Came down to watch.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. It was absolutely roasting, just spectating.
Yeah. Well, my heart bleeds for you.
It was awful having a cold can of Carling. It was terrible.
Man.
Running with Jake, the plodcast, because every runner needs the occasional plod. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Welcome to the Running With Jake podcast with me, your host, Jake Lowe. Thank you very much for listening to the show. No matter where you are today, whether you are listening to this in the car, whether you're out there running, it's great to have your company. We've got loads of stuff lined up on the show today. Now, this is brilliant because, obviously, as your host, I am, my job is to inspire and motivate you, entertain you, but I'm a running coach as well, and that's why this podcast, for me, is so awesome, because not only am I able to help people on a one-to-one basis, my clients, help them with their goals, but I'm speaking to people en masse now, so I can really spread the word. And I want to help you to improve your running. In fact, if you have a particular question for me, you can just use hashtag AskJake and I will be answering your questions on every show.
One question I've got for you, Jake.
What do you mean?
To be fair.
You've got a question.
I'm Pete the producer, by the way.
You are Pete the producer.
I'm not a running guy, it's fair to say. But obviously, since doing this podcast with you, I've been exposed to many, many running people. They're an absolute delight and I love it. It's brilliant. So I'm really enjoying the running community without actually running myself. So I feel I'm taking the best of all worlds.
You're cheating, effectively.
Essentially, yeah. You leave loads of messages, loads of motivational messages. You don't leave a text message ever. You normally leave a voice message.
Yeah, no, I can't be bothered with texts. I'm all fingers and thumbs.
What I'll do is, if it's all right, is I'll play you a message that you you sent me the other day. Sometimes your messages are, hey man, it's Monday morning, let's do it. This is going to be a great week, yada, yada, yada. Absolutely great. Sometimes you'll leave me messages with ideas. Now, this one starts with an idea, which I think is great, which we can talk about, and this will definitely happen on the show. But then it goes into something else, which I want to pick up on.
Dude, while I think about it, we need to come up with a feature or a competition or something with regards to running shoes, trainers. Because
it's a good idea.
Like, I'm trying to think of things that runners love. Do you know what I mean? That they really love. A lot of people will call it like shoe porn.
I've seen
like,
that.
Like, hashtag shoe porn or whatever. And like they love the trainers. So I reckon, I don't know what, but I reckon, switch legs. I reckon there's something in that, mate. Definitely.
I was stretching.
I'll give it some more thought. But
is that what you were doing? Because you've always got an alarm. You've got an alarm for everything.
Yeah.
A minute ago, you went downstairs, you made a cup of tea. What happens after 4 minutes? You hear Jake. Jake goes, I'm going to make a cup of tea, right? And then you hear him say, Siri, set an alarm for 4 minutes.
It is true, actually. And it works. It works because, with tea, I just forget. I leave the bag there and then it's just like, you know, brew it, don't stew it. And then it just ends up in the bin. So I don't bother with that.
Okay.
I just asked Siri to sort it, which is cool.
Yeah.
But no, I was stretching there. So you know, multitasking while I was leaving your message with my great idea. I was just stretching out the old hamstrings. I think I'd just been for a run, so.
Is this a massive thing with all runners? Because you always, whenever you talk to each other, it's like, oh, I want to do this in sub this. I want to do in this in sub that. I've done this in this long. It's taken this long. I heard the other day on the podcast what Morph was saying, and if you didn't catch this, by the way, go and listen to the last podcast. He was saying that 2 extra pounds weight equals 3 seconds a mile slower. So it just seems that you're all obsessed with time.
Do you know, I think that is actually a very accurate observation because metrics are really, really, really important to runners. And, you know, obviously with this, in this day and age with the likes of Apple Watches and all this kind of stuff, people are used to heart rate tracking and, numbers of cadence, how many steps you take per minute, and Strava will give you loads of data and stuff. But yeah, numbers are important, I think. I think numbers are important to the majority of runners. I mean, at the end of the day, you count your mileage or your distance in numbers, in kilometres, in miles. I think race times, obviously, you associate a particular finish time to it. So yeah, I think time is really, really important because the seconds matter. You know, you mentioned Morph that we had on the show last time. And he was saying about, how the cost of extra weight, excess weight, how much that costs you in terms of time, which means that you're running slower. So therefore, your finish time is slower. But these margins, although they don't sound very big, are actually significant. So yeah, numbers is massive, man. You speak to any runner and I think, oh no, numbers from how many miles they run per week to how long they hold their hamstring stretch, if they do stretch, to how many pairs of trainers they've owned over the last 5 years. Maybe it's something we can try and ask some of the people we get on the show, actually, because this show is obviously about real runners with real stories. I'm certainly a real runner and I've got a real story, and I think we should find out about other people. So keep these questions coming, Pete. I like it.
Thank you.
But remember, can I just say, it is hashtag Ask Jake.
It is, sorry. I did ask you, to be fair.
You did. I'm just worried when we do get Pete running, how many questions he's going to have.
For the show notes and video content, go to runningwithjake.com/podcast and follow us on social media.
Later on, there's another hashtag Ask Jake, and today is all about blisters.
Yeah.
But right now, though, we've got a fellow podcaster on the show. The podcast is called Why in the World, and it's all about people doing extreme stuff. And here's the host, Ben Shepherd. Hey, man, thanks for coming on the show.
Mate, of course, thanks for asking.
So you're taking a break from doing some crazy stuff right now. Are you comfortable just sat down chilling, talking to me? I'm mindful of the fact you're quite an extreme dude.
Mate, I am actually rocking a pair of shorts and a pair of trainers, and it's absolutely hammering it down where I am right now. So I got to get some sort of running fix in my dress sense if I'm not, like, sort of, you know, jogging about.
Well, you're up in... am I right in saying you're up in Chester right now?
Yeah, up in Chester. Spend quite a bit of time in the mountains in North Wales as well. Just, you know, like, enjoying the scenery and just some difficult run routes and things like that. But yeah, I've been living here for the last sort of 5 or 6 years now. Beautiful place, mate. You ever been?
Yeah, well, I used to live in Chester, actually.
Oh, did you?
I used to live... Basically, my girlfriend's a vet and I just follow her around the country. Wherever she gets a job, I'm like, okay, where are we going now? So I try not to get too attached.
Sounds a little bit stalkery, that, mate.
Yeah. I mean, let's have a chat about running, then we'll talk about the restraining order that she's put out. But so give me a bit of background on yourself, Ben, because obviously I get the impression you're quite an interesting fellow. You're quite into your training, quite clearly. But where did it all start for you? Because you like your extreme stuff, don't you? And we'll come on to your podcast that you're doing, which is ace. But yeah. Where did it all start for you?
Someone actually asked me this question the other day, and I was actually trying to think back. And I think it probably all stems from when I was sort of about 16 years old. I got quite ill. I had an abscess in my spine between L2, L3, so in my lower back, and it was in the disc between the vertebrae, and it was kind of eating away at the vertebrae above and the vertebrae below. And I mean, there was a point there where things were looking pretty bad in terms of, you know, whether I was going to be sort of going to be able to use my legs and stuff if things had carried on like they were going. And I spent quite a significant amount of time in hospital. And I think since then it's kind of been something, although I was always quite active and played a lot of rugby and was into my fitness when I was a kid, it's been something that's kind of always been in the back of my mind. Look, like, you don't know when you're not going to be able to do these things anymore. At some point that's going to happen to all of us, whether it's old age or injury. But when you can do them, why not create something that I like to think about of like a life CV, create something that that you can be proud of to look back on when you're, you know, when you're a little bit older. And it's something I like to look at when I'm deciding what races to do and what sort of distances I want to go and do as well, is that life CV, and being able to look back at that in the future and be like, I'm really proud of that, is something I kind of always focus on.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, actually, and I apologise, this is also going to sound a little bit stalkerish and backs up your comment earlier, but I had a sneaky little look at your Facebook. Now, obviously, you can only see so much because we're not connected, we're not friends as of yet on Facebook.
Oh, we will be after, mate, we will be,
right? 100%. But I did see just a couple of your photos on there, and you can see the memory that you've created and what it means to you. And I think was it an Ironman triathlon or something like that I would have seen?
Yeah,
was it some crazy event?
I've done my first sort of, I suppose, dip in the water into long distance triathlon was in university, in my third year of university. Got a rugby injury, couldn't really play rugby anymore, so started doing both radio, and that paid off and has worked quite well. And then also sort of running and my fitness, I started focusing on that a lot more. Did my first half Ironman event in university, and then did take a bit of time off, actually, when sort of my work was starting to take off a little bit in terms of radio and things, and kind of focusing on that when I was trying to get into it. But it was always sort of from that first half Ironman distance in Nottingham. It was the Outlaw half, actually, which is a great race I can recommend to anybody. Hopefully I'm going to come back and do the Outlaw full next year, I think. I've loved it. And I don't know what it is. I think it's something about pushing your body to kind of your absolute limit, and that mental fortitude that you have to show as well to get through these long distances. So since then, yeah, like you said, I've done a couple of Ironman, full distance Ironman. I did one in Germany, one last year in Copenhagen, qualified for like a world championship race from the one in Germany. And then this year I've been more focusing on my my running. So going back to kind of what I would consider maybe my base, if that makes sense. If you're looking at triathlon, I'm not very good at swimming. I do like biking and I'm all right at it, but I would always consider running my base. So I've come back to that this year and kind of focused on some more running challenges as well.
Well, some awesome stuff there. And it kind of connects well, doesn't it, to your podcast, Why in the World?
Yeah.
You know, why in the world does anybody want to do a certain thing? Yeah. And I know you interview some really inspirational people that do some crazy stuff, some mad adventure type stuff that some people can't even imagine, let alone embark on. Mm. And I guess this comes back to, so the reason for the podcast, I guess, comes back to your why you do these things. To you mentioned pushing yourself and challenging your limits and stuff, and is that where the idea for the podcast came from?
Yeah, mate, pretty much you just nailed it on the head, to be fair, with that first sentence of the question. Why in the World was born, my podcast, when I did my first Ironman. And you know, people would always come up to you and say, why in the world are you doing it? They'd actually probably use slightly more expletive language than that, but, you know, I'd like to keep it PG-13. So,
absolutely.
We decided to call it Why in the World, or I decided to call it Why in the World. And from there, I kind of sat down with a few people and had a chat to them to sort of work out exactly how I wanted this podcast to work and exactly kind of what format I wanted it to take. And I think sometimes these people don't get a chance to share their story, and thankfully now we're getting a bit of a following, so we're starting to get some big guests on as well. But I do really like getting these people on to share their stories that have done these incredible endurance challenges and aren't getting the notoriety they deserve, because I don't think some of them really care, to be honest. I think it's very much for them, but I think for people to listen to these stories, I think it helps in people's day-to-day life as well, just to see kind of what the human body is capable of. Just a quick note about one guy that I've got coming on before Christmas. I recorded with him the other day. His name's Mark Dodgson, and he's the winner of this year's Continuous Decker. Now, we talked about an Ironman triathlon.
Wow.
A Continuous Decker is 10 Ironman distance triathlons back-to-back, but all of the distances are smushed together, and he won this race, and he's coming on before Christmas.
My
but
gosh.
You know, I spoke to him, he's just a normal bloke. You're like, he was talking about, like, you know, the food he was eating and he was gonna grab a takeaway and stuff like this. He's just a normal bloke, and I think that's something people don't realize. You can't do these incredible things and just actually live a pretty decent life and normal life as well.
See, my producer Peter's a normal bloke. There's a chance for you to get involved in a Decker triathlon. Do you fancy that, Pete? Yeah. Is that something you...
Well, what I could do is I could have, like, I like the concept of doing things times 10. So if you're buying, I'll eat 10 curries. But aside from that, I'm out.
Yeah, well, mate, that works.
I have got my work cut out. I did tell you, Ben.
Ben, I'm coming to Chester. We're having a curry night soon, okay? You're paying.
Oh, mate, 100%. 100%. I was about to say, 10 biscuits or 10 pints. Wait, that work as well.
Now you're speaking his language. Now you're speaking his language, Ben. So this guy that you're interviewing before Christmas is coming on the show. I mean, I find people like that fascinating because, and this is what I love about your podcast and the title of it, is everybody's got a why, haven't they? A reason that they do anything, get out of bed in the morning. But, you know, especially when they're getting involved in these crazy events, there's a reason. And I've always said that I'm not, and I'm intrigued to see what you think to this, Ben, but I've always said that I'm not sure that people necessarily really know why they do something.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I know that's a funny thing to say.
And you know what? Although the podcast is called Why in the World, it's very rare I actually ask them that question. Some of them will have reasons and some of them have amazing stories where there is that sort of, light bulb on moment maybe. But most of them are kind of like, well, you know, a lot of the time there is a lot of winging it involved as well. There is. And these people won't lie about that. And, you know, I've done challenges myself where there is a bit of winging it involved. And I think sometimes you do have to kind of chuck yourself into the unknown, as you do with everything, to create those memories and to come out with the results you maybe want to come out with. My first sort of multi-day thing that I did was through work. I did a charity run from Cardiff to Wrexham, and it was over 5 days, and I'd never done an ultra marathon before in my life, and we had to run 150 miles over 5 days. So split that up, you know, you're looking at about 30 miles plus a day. And I just threw myself into it. I'll be honest, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. I thought I was fit enough. I thought my mental sort of fortitude was there, but I didn't know. And then earlier on this year, I did something called Racecourse 100, which was, again, like a self-created thing where I just ran around Chester Racecourse for 100 miles.
I used to live in Chester, as you know. I ran around Chester Racecourse once, maybe twice. I'm going to ask you the question. Why in the world would you want to do that?
Well,
that's insane.
Good question. So actually, a friend of mine was going to be doing a run across the Welsh coast, and he was doing it over the same period of time that I was doing it, but then he pulled out, and I wanted to kind of think about the difference between doing a multi-looped thing and a kind of a A to B thing, run-wise. So we were going to kind of both do it, and then we were going to come together and we were going to have a chat about it. But he dropped out, and then I had already kind of said that I was going to do it, so I kind of had to say I was going to do it. I also, this might sound a little bit ridiculous, but it was a mental prep for this year for me, because as I said to you, I've been focusing on my running. So this year, my A race was the Pentlin Ultra 75 miles, which actually turned into about 81 because I'm not very good with compass. So that was my A race. I had a 50 miler before that, and then Racecourse 100 was kind of something that I wanted to do as like a big training block. So yeah, it was 100 miles over 3 days. I did 35 miles day one, 35 miles day two, and 30 miles day three. I had just started a new job, so I was working as well in the afternoons, but so I was having to like get up at sort of, it was 4 o'clock I was getting up to get down there to start running. And it is flat, and you know, you can put in some pretty decent mileage and some pretty decent times on the race course, but it's all grass, and it does get a little bit monotonous when you're on your 30th lap of 35 laps, because it's pretty much a mile around, so it was basically 100 laps. But yeah, it was difficult.
Being on the soft ground obviously helps, doesn't it? Because in terms of reducing the impact, and I'm a big believer, I always encourage people to do a bit of soft ground running, even if that doesn't mean crazy, you know, Welsh mountain fell running. But I do think it helps with reducing the impact. But you mentioned this was good prep for you. Now, this event that you created, the Racecourse 100, are you talking more mental preparation than physical prep? Because of course you could do a 100 mile event as preparation for another event, couldn't you? But it could be a point to point race.
Yeah.
But the fact that this was, you know, 100 1 mile loose, which as we know, you know, you say it's monotonous, that's a head game. Is it the head and the mind that you were trying to strengthen and develop from doing something like that?
Yeah, definitely. It was a big part of it for sure. And I actually believe quite heavily in treadmill training as well. And I think that's kind of for the same reason that, you know, people always say about a treadmill, I hate a treadmill, it's awful, like staring at a wall. Yeah, you're right, it is, but because there's literally zero stimuli, like when you're doing it, when you're out on a trail and there's so much to focus on and so many different things going on, if you're, you know, running on technical trail, or, you know, you're just seeing the mountains or the weather's nice or there's people to speak to, it suddenly becomes a little bit easier, I think. And it's just a name, Racecourse 100. I just had it for a while, and I just didn't want to waste it. I didn't want it to sort of fall by the wayside. So I actually had the idea for, you know, probably over a year, and it just worked out that I think it was going to be a good training block for me to get into kind of what I was doing for the rest of the year. Also, you know, logistically, it was very close to my house, so I can literally just get out and do it. And it was safe. It was, you know, it was a challenge that didn't really take too much organising. I literally walked down with a Lidl bag every morning with some electrolytes in and a bit of food, stuck it in the next by the race course, and just got it underway and just started doing laps. The groundsman did look at me like I had some sort of issue.
Did you rope him into a couple of laps, or was that a non-starter?
No, he just, you know, when you run past someone and I just kept going past him. He was like, what the hell is this guy doing? What is going on here? But yeah, I think definitely the mental side of things is something that I really focus on. And I don't think you can do sort of, you know, long distance ultra races without being pretty mentally tough.
It's interesting what you say about treadmill running, because I'm completely with you, Ben. I've always been a big fan of treadmill running to a point. You know, I think putting some in your training, I think it's really beneficial for a number of reasons. It's a very controlled environment for a start. You know, if you're in a gym, then you might have slight variation in air conditioning and stuff. But otherwise, it's pretty much the speed is what it's set to. And you can really test yourself compared to previous sessions you've done. You've not got to worry about safety. Yeah. You've not got to worry about weather conditions, you know, those kinds of things. If you're coming back from injury, you can jump on a treadmill. You're in the same spot. If you feel you need to stop, you know, because obviously your injury is not quite healed yet, then you're not miles from home. So I do think there's a real benefit to treadmill running. But I really like the fact that you talk about, and I'd not really thought about this before actually, Ben, because you mentioned with the treadmill, because it's so monotonous and you're staring at a wall and there's no real distraction, that you're developing that, I guess, the awareness of, oh my gosh, this is really dull, but I'm able to get through it.
I think it's exactly that.
When you're out there doing the crazy events you do, you suddenly open up to far more sensors, and it's that difference between that comparison where it makes it easier, I guess, is what you're saying. What I find interesting about the treadmill is I come at it from another angle, that I think in races as well, you typically, I suppose, especially if it's like a road race where you're not surrounded by stunning scenery and you are chasing a time, you will go through emotional highs and lows in an event. And I think if you practice being in a dark place, so to speak, like on a treadmill, I think you're strengthening that skill so that when you are out there and you have your low moments in a race, you're able to get through it. Mm. Do you think that's a fair point? Can you relate to that?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And, you know, I think as well, we have to look at sort of time restraints and stuff. And, you know, people live very busy lives. And I do think sometimes the treadmill is a great tool to be able to get your training in where maybe you can't get your training in outdoors. You know, I know a lot of people that go out for lunchtime runs and stuff, but people don't like to feel sweaty and horrible at work. So if you can go and jump on a treadmill an hour before work and then get straight to work, it's one of those things that is easier to fit in. And it's not just the treadmill for me. I believe in indoor training quite a lot. And although, you know, the outdoors is stunning and lovely, particularly with something like a triathlon, I do a lot of work if I'm training for a triathlon on a watt bike. And then, you know, you can jump straight off the watt bike and either go outside for a run, or you can literally jump straight from there onto a treadmill and do your brick sessions and those big sessions that you need to build in. I think sometimes they get a bad rap, sort of indoor training, so watt bikes and treadmills. But like you said, they're very easy control. They're very easy to control. They're very easy to monitor your progress. They're, like I said, easier on time sometimes. A lot of the times they can be easier on your joints. And like, I'll be honest, sometimes I don't really like being out on my bike on the roads in, you know, on rush hour and stuff like that. I've been knocked off and it's not nice. It's not, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be putting myself in those positions. So it's nice to be able to train and get the stuff that you need to get in and not cheat your training, because that's something you can't do with these distances, and still sort of believe in yourself and get the quality training that you can get on a watt bike or a treadmill.
I think the watt bike is I'm not a triathlete, Ben. I've done some cycling and some crazy Derbyshire runs and stuff, which is where bike rides, which is where I'm from originally. But
yeah,
the watt bike is a fantastic tool, and I completely agree with you with the indoor training. I think a lot of people could, you know, hopefully listening to this show can get a lot from the points that you've made about indoor training, because it does tick so many boxes, and we've just listed only a few of those. Listen, I want to ask you, Chester, when I was there, I was training for the London Marathon 2018, which was the hottest one on record. That's talking of memories. I definitely won't forget
that. Yeah, I was there, but actually. I came down to watch.
Oh, were
that,
you?
That, yeah, it was absolutely roasting, just spectating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, my heart bleeds for you. You stood there chilling out.
It was awful having a cold can of Carlin. It was terrible.
Honestly, if you were here right now, I'd give you a hug, I tell you. But in Chester, I was training. Oh, I mean, this brings back terrible memories, I have to say. The river path there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, on the meadows. My gosh. Because we live just on the start of that. So we literally sort of fell out the apartment, and we were on the river path, which was fantastic for doing various, you know, measured training runs, keeping away from traffic. If you're doing interval sessions down, that's great. But, you know, you reach a point, I'm sure you get this as well, Ben, where you do the same route so many times and you think, I don't know if I can face it. And it was always so bloody windy as well. It was just insane. Do you ever tackle the path down there? Do you ever use that in some of your training sessions?
I use the river path quite a lot, the river and the canal path as well. But I get exactly what you mean about the sort of the monotony and the wind as well. It's I think Chester was called the Windy City at one point. So I think
I can see
you kind of get that headwind when you're running, or when you're, you know, when you're out on the bike. But I think it's when it's then sort of the mental preparation comes in as well, because look, the overarching goal is whatever you're doing, isn't it? So for you at that point, it was the London Marathon. For me this year, it was the ultra that I wanted to do. And I was going to do that distance, whatever happened. That's what I wanted to do, and that's where my mind was set. And I do, on all of my training, a lot of the time, if I'm ever finding it difficult, I think about the finish line of whatever race I'm training for. I like thinking of it as like a bank account, okay? So you have to keep putting in money into this bank account. You need to keep putting it in, putting it in, putting it in. Without putting the money in, you're not going to be able to take that cash out and make a deposit on something that you want to get. And you want to get that medal and you want to complete that race. So even if the train is feeling boring, you got to do it, don't you, I think. And I'm sure that's something you've experienced in your time of training people as well. Like, you have to put the effort in to get what you want out of it, 100%.
You know, I would love to talk to you about this in a lot more detail, and I think we have to get you back on the show at some point in the future if you're chatting with us, Ben.
Sure.
We can tackle this in more depth, because we could talk about it all day. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, your analogy of putting money in the bank, and you've got to invest in your fitness, haven't you? And I've always thought, yeah. I'm not sure, and maybe I've done this in my past as well. I perhaps have to spend a bit of time thinking about this. I'm sure I have, but I'm not sure that people necessarily choose their goal based on the work that they are willing to put in.
No.
I don't think the two always align, if that makes sense to you. And I don't think there's a right or wrong. If somebody wants to achieve 75% of what they're truly capable of in any event, that's absolutely fine. That's no problem. Mm. Therefore, they only need to put in 75% effort. But if somebody wants to really, you know, nail a time, they want to achieve something that's really, you know, a real challenge for them, the work that and their ethic has to match that. And I'm not always sure they align.
No, I truly believe that most people can do anything they want to do in terms of their physical capability, okay? Unless you've got something wrong, you've got an injury, or you're suffering with something that doesn't allow you to do, you know, physical activity or exert yourself. Everyone is born with the same body, okay? Yes, you might have genetic, you know, people out there with incredible genetics, but I haven't got great genetics. I'm pretty athletic, but I would say that's pretty much all through training, to be fair. I think everyone is born with the same body and they all have the same opportunities to do things. It is all about sort of the mentality. Like you said, sometimes maybe people don't set the correct goals, but I'm sure you've experienced this as well. You don't just, when you do one of these events, experience the benefits just by getting the time you want to do in that event and completing that event. You get the benefits for, I mean, I'm still seeing benefits of my London Marathon training 5 years ago. You know, you then, you know, this bank account, this metaphorical bank account that I just talked about, that becomes something that you can put money into for each small goal. And then you can have this big goal where, you know, you're putting money into that as well. And these little goals are all going into this big goal, into this pot. And then suddenly you're going to have this big goal and you become fitter and, you know, stuff becomes easier, everyday things become easier because you've put yourself through this hardship of whatever it's been, whatever that race has been, or whatever that piece of physical exertion has been. And I think actually, you know, people talk about running and exercise and physical exertion for their mental health and stuff. I am a massive advocate of that, which I'm sure you are as well. Because when you do these difficult things and you put your body under some sort of pressure, suddenly everything else feels like it's not so difficult anymore. And I think a lot of that is, even if you can just go to the gym for half an hour a day and get a bit of a sweat on and get a bit of heavy breathing going on, or exert yourself, even if you're, you know, traveling, you can do some burpees in your room, get yourself going, get that heart pumping, get that blood flowing. Because exercise sometimes has this stigma of, you can't enjoy yourself in exercise. I still go out and have beers with my friends. I still do all of that stuff. In fact, like, running, if anything, has made me even more sociable than I already was, because I've got big groups of friends in all different places doing all different things. And like, thankfully, I'm meeting all these incredible people on the podcast as well. And I'm actually traveling with a group of childhood friends to go and do these Ironman races, people I've known since I was 3 years old. So like, being able to share the experiences with people like that, you can be sociable and and put some effort into your physical sort of body as well at the same time.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm inspired just listening to you, Ben. I love the passion coming through. And I think, you know, fitness, whether it's running, cycling, swimming, whatever it might be, it can be an integral part of an individual's life. And I think that's where the real key is, to enjoying it and embracing it. And as you say, it translates nicely into other areas of your life, and it makes other things easier. It helps you to overcome obstacles, like you overcome obstacles in training. You know, not everything's plain sailing. It certainly isn't for me, and I'm sure it's a case for yourself. Listen, Ben, before you go, I'm really intrigued to know, what have you got coming up, and how does the future look for you in terms of your events? What's the big thing on your mind at the moment?
I've got something potentially in my head for the new year. Now, you know, it would be something that, well, I'll tell you, why not? There's no reason why I can't tell you. There's something I've been thinking for a while called 2020.
Okay.
So, obviously we're going to come into the year 2020, and I was thinking of doing 20 miles every day for 20 days, finishing on 2020.
Wow.
So I just thought that'd be quite a nice little sort of thing to do. That'd be like a personal challenge thing. And I have got something in mind, which the name is called Quadzilla. And you can make of that what you will.
Everything starts with a name for you, doesn't it? I'm learning this, man.
Oh, mate, definitely,
it's like,
definitely.
You know, Racecourse 100. I like that. What can we do with that? Maybe a podcast called Racecourse. Nah, stuff that. I'll just run 100 miles.
Well, I was gonna actually do a challenge when I did Racecourse 100 called Quadzilla. So again, I've had that number for a while, but what it is has changed. So, but I want to do something to celebrate the 50th episode of my podcast, because we're on, I think, episode 29. Now, so we've got 20 more to go till sort of that half century, and I think that's probably going to land sort of April, May next year. So Quadzilla is something that I've got in my head as a name, and I have got a challenge, which I won't tell you that one, because I'm not sure if my mum hears it, she'll be very happy. So we're going to keep that one in my head for the time being.
Okay.
And see where that lands. But next year I want to crack that 100 mile mark at some point, and I think I'll probably get another Ironman done at some point as well next year. Like I said, I'm looking at potentially coming back to Notts and doing the Outlaw, which is one of the best races in the UK. So yeah, lots in my head. Unfortunately, sometimes all these things in my head, my body's like, mate, you got to chill out for a second.
Good luck with that. I can completely relate to the overactive brain, which you talk about in your blog, which talking about the Racecourse 100, keeping awake at night with all these crazy ideas. But you know, it makes you feel alive, which is amazing. So no, I wish you all the luck in the world with all your crazy events you've got coming up. No doubt it's pretty exciting times for you in 2020. And thanks so much for coming on the show and chatting to me, Ben, and tackling your training a little bit more, and hopefully giving some people listening to the show some ideas on how they can improve their training, and certainly not disregard doing some indoor sessions as well, which I think is really important. So your podcast, Ben, people can download this. Why in the world?
Yes.
And am I right in saying it's every other Wednesday that you release this?
Yeah, new episodes every other Wednesday. We've got some pretty amazing guests coming on now before Christmas. Scott Jenkins, who's going to attempt to become the first Welshman to complete the Moab 240, which is one of the most famous ultra races out in Utah. We got Rhys Jenkins, his brother, who's just become the first Welshman to complete Badwater 135, which is through Death Valley. We got Adventure Man, who is Jamie McDonald. He's run across Canada. He's run across America. He's done some amazing things. And yeah, we've got like ocean rowers, people that have done extreme triathlons, loads of amazing episodes before Christmas. And one thing I'd like to say is just thanks to everybody that has come on so far, because you know, I meet all these people in person and they're just incredible. And mate, and I thank you so much for asking me to do this as well, and I'm more than happy to come back on whenever you want me to. And you can get my podcast, by the way, on iTunes, also Spotify, and the Global Player and Acast is everywhere. And mate, if you're ever in Chester, come say hello. We'll go for a run. I'll take you around the race course for a few laps.
We'll connect on Facebook, and next time I'm up in Chester, we'll do that. Maybe I'll draw the line at 100 laps of the race course, but we can negotiate this. we'll negotiate and see where we go from there. Ben, listen, have a great rest of the day. Great to chat to you. See you soon.
Thank you, buddy.
Running with Jake, the podcast.
Now, one of the things I love to do on the Running with Jake podcast is answer your running questions. If you have a burning question for me, it is hashtag AskJake, and each episode I will be answering your questions. Now, Rob wants to know how to avoid blisters during a long run. Now, with blisters, I have a few things here, and you've got to find what works for you. But I think making sure that you use Vaseline or some kind of anti-chafing lubricant can really help. And I know it can feel a bit funny putting it on your toes if you've never done this before, but don't be shy. Just lather it on your toes. Put your sock on. You won't even know it's there once you're running, but that will just help prevent some of that friction, which can cause the blisters. The other thing is, a couple of things, make sure that if you have had, let's say, a long day at work and then you're running after work or something like that, it's really important that you don't just throw your trainers on and head out the door. Make sure your feet are nice and dry, ideally clean and dry, and that will help to prevent the blisters as well. And the final thing is, make sure that your trainers are half a size bigger than you would normally wear. Now, if you've been to a local running shop, you will probably have had a proper shoe fitting, and this can really help, particularly over long distances, Rob, because what can happen is your feet can swell over time. So even though your trainers might feel like they fit perfectly, by the end of the run, they could be a little bit uncomfortable and a couple of blisters coming. I hope that helps. Don't forget, if you have a question for me, it's hashtag AskJake. That brings today's show to a close. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the Running With Jake podcast and leave a lovely review, particularly if you are using Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate that. Have a super week. Oh, and one last thing. Remember, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. So stop reacting like a dickhead.
And on next week's episode of Running With Jake.
How are the legs feeling now, actually? How are they feeling today?
Yeah, didn't do that one this morning. I did a four.
Hang on, I've just given you Star Baker. Scrap that. Pete, we need to get another one of my runners on. That just simply won't do.
Running With Jake, the podcast. That's a wrap.